Good morning. Thank the Lord for another Easter morning.
Yes.
Thankful that He loves us so much.
Yes.
And it's wonderful that Easter is something that we can celebrate all the time.
Yes.
Not something that we don't have to wait till once a year to do it. I certainly thank the Lord for that song. You know, we think about as we go through this life, we have love and for one another. But you know what? No one loves us like God does. And all that He did for us, He proved His love to us. I certainly desire your prayers again this morning. Have some thoughts that I believe the Lord has given to share this morning, and I'm depending on Him.
Yes.
Yet one more time, realize I can't do anything without Him. So depending on Him again today.
Yes.
By the help of the Lord this morning, I'm going to talk about something supreme. And just to give us a little context, I guess, if you wanted to think about something supreme in our natural world that we live in today, you might think about the Supreme Court, right? The Supreme Court is the highest tribunal in our nation. And all the cases and controversies that arise under our Constitution and the laws that we have here in the United States, the Supreme Court is the final, there's the final say, right? They are charged with assuring that the American people have the promise of equal justice under law, and they function as the guardian and interpreter of the Constitution. What if our world, our nation that we live in today, what if there was no such thing as the Supreme Court? I mean, you really, when you think about it, our nation could still exist, right? Why? Because there's other things that have been put into place, right? There's local courts and there's state courts, right, that would preside over things. So if that wasn't something that our forefathers put into practice, there would be other courts, right, that were put into place that our nation could still function. Would you agree with that this morning? Oh, but there was a supreme sacrifice. There was a supreme sacrifice that was made for us. Supreme is defined as highest in rank or authority, highest in degree or quality. So in other words, that's the top. It can't go any, just as we described in our natural world, that's the highest court. So something that's a supreme, there's nothing better.
Amen.
Nothing better. So when we talk about a supreme sacrifice, a sacrifice being an act of offering to a deity something precious.
Yes.
It's the surrender of something for the sake of something else. Something that's given up or that is lost. It's an offering. And by the help of the Lord this morning, as we read through some of the events that took place up until Jesus' crucifixion and His resurrection, I want us to think about, if there anything as we read, are there things that took place where Jesus could have said, you know what, this is too much.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't, this is the last straw. I know, God, that this is the purpose that you had for me, but this event that took place is just too much.
Yeah.
And I can't do it. So what if there hadn't been a supreme sacrifice? So we're going to read through some of these events that took place. And, you know, maybe think about, you could, as we read through them, you could say, yes, that's definitely something where the Son of God could have said, this is too much. Yeah. You know, as we go through this life, there's many things that we suffer and we go through.
Yes.
But put ourselves in the minds of what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
And that supreme sacrifice that he made was for each and every one of us individually. So when we read through all the things that he went through, and when he could have just called it quits and said, that's enough, he was thinking about you, and he was thinking about me. So these will be some familiar texts this morning, and there's quite a bit of reading, and I'll try to expedite the time. But I want to, there's many different, as you read through the events that happen, we're just going to talk about a few this morning, but there's many more than the ones that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
So let's talk about when Jesus was in the garden. And as we read through here in Mark, the 14th chapter, Mark 14, and we'll start at verse 32 and read through verse 42. Mark 14, 32 to 42. And as we read this, just think about, is there anything that's happening here that the Son of God could have said, I'm done. I can't do it.
And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that, if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee.
Yes.
Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter in temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again.
Yes.
For their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and said unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. And lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand.
I would like to point our attention to several things that took place in these verses that was read. So we understand the context. We know what's about to take place. Jesus knows what's about to take place.
Yeah.
So this is right up until there, and he's trying to get some strength and some support from his followers,
yeah,
those that have been with him, to be able to help him through what's about to,
yeah,
take place.
Yeah.
It says in that 34th verse, he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful,
yes,
unto death. Exceedingly sorrowful. So in other words, he was already in a condition where he was sorrowful, he was weak, he was heavy laden, he was just burning down already.
Yes.
Could that have been enough? Could that just the weight of everything, maybe it was just the weight of everything finally coming to his mind that what's about to take place, and he's just the overcome with sorrow.
Oh,
where he could have said, I can't be this supreme sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Could that have been something, maybe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't go through with this. Then he asked his father, didn't he?
Yeah.
Then that 36th verse, he said, Abba, Father, I know all things are possible unto thee.
Yes.
He seen and he saw the works that God did through him.
Yes.
So he asked his father, if it's possible,
yes,
can I not go through with this?
Yeah, right.
Oh, but it wasn't about him. He was doing the will of his father.
Yes.
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 So his father let him know, it's not possible. The hope for mankind, the hope for you and I, he couldn't say no. So he not only prayed, he prayed a couple times.
Yeah, right.
He said, not my will, but thou as thou wilt. In other words, oh God, this is tough. This is a rough one, but I surrender myself to your will and what your plan is for me. Maybe he could be encouraged because some of those that have been with him in the trenches, so to speak, with him, those that he had administered to, they were with him all along the way. Some of them were there with him to encourage him there, to pray with him. They literally fell asleep on the job.
Yeah.
He said, couldn't you just watch 1 hour? This is important here. Do you understand what's about to take place? And all I'm asking you is to just pray with me.
Lord, yeah. Lord, yeah, have mercy. Have mercy, right? Yeah.
Give a little context. Those of us that have spouses, have you ever had a real important conversation that you was trying to have with your spouse and you look over and they sleep? And you just bared it all and you go, wait a minute, this is important. I really wanted to get this on. We needed to talk about this. They cut it off. I know that part is comical, but we're talking about the Son of God.
Yes.
He's in one of the toughest times of his life.
Yeah.
And they couldn't even keep their eyes open for 1 hour.
Yeah.
Could that have been enough? I'm doing, felt like he was all alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody's with me. Nobody's standing behind me, holding me up.
Yeah.
I'm in the most difficult time of life, and those that I love are falling asleep on me.
Yeah.
It's too much. I can't do it. Couldn't. What if it hadn't? What if he would have said, I can't do it? What if it had not been for that supreme sacrifice?
Yeah.
He felt alone and forsaken.
Yeah.
But he just kept on praying.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not your will, not my will, but yours.
Yes.
Your will be done.
Yes.
So if I have to pray 1, 2, 3, 4,
however many times, this the in the scriptures he prayed 3 times, but however many is needed to be able to say, I surrender to your will.
Yes.
That's what it took, the supreme sacrifice for us. There's one account in Luke, the 22nd chapter and the 44th verse, that talked about him being in agony, and he prayed earnestly, and he was praying so hard, and he was so burdened down and so affected, that it says here in Luke 22 and 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So rather than saying, I can't do it, he prayed more earnestly. And he was so in tune with doing the will of God that sweat came like blood. Let's look at some other events that took place. I'm going to talk about a little bit about betrayal and denial by those that he spent the most time with. Those that they had no doubt long conversations about the things of God. Those that was with him the most. That you figure, if nobody else gonna betray me or nobody else gonna stand by me, stick up for me, it's gonna be the ones that I've been with. Matthew 26, verses 47 through 49. Matthew 26, 47 to 49.
And while he yet spake.
And while he yet spake.
Lo, Judas.
Lo, Judas.
One of the twelve.
Came with him a great multitude. With swords and staves.
From the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign.
Saying,
Whomsoever I shall kiss. That same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith.
He came to Jesus.
And said.
Hail, Master.
And kissed him.
One of the 12. One of his inner circle. The very one that betrayed him. Even up until the end, he comes up and he says, Hail, Master. Could that have been enough for him? This is one of my closest friends. We've spent so much time together, and he's going to be the very one that's going to betray me. And that wasn't the only one. In Luke 22, verses 54 to 64, we learn about somebody else. Again, one of his inner circle. They didn't betray him, but denied him. Again, you know what took place. But again, just having us think about this supreme sacrifice. And could these events have just been so much for him to say, I can't do it? Luke 22, 54 to 64.
Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them.
Yes.
But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire.
Yes.
And earnestly looked upon him and said,
Yes.
This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also with him, for he is a Galilean.
Yes.
And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew.
Oh, Lord.
And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the man that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?
Again, one of his close inner circle. One of the ones that spent the most time with him. And here, you know, Jesus has already been taken. And here he's gathering around with some other people there. And they start to look at him. And you look familiar. You was with Jesus. And not only denying him one time. You know, and even in his denial, he was so adamant. One of his closest friends. What are you talking about? I don't know him. I haven't been with him. I don't even know who he is. I mean, three witnesses. You know, you think about in a court of law or something like that, when somebody's on trial for something, if you had three witnesses that's going to confirm the exact same thing. But yet he was so strong in his denial. Yes. Could that have been enough? Jesus looked at him. Can you imagine the thoughts that was going through his mind? He didn't even have to say anything, did he? All he did was look at him and immediately just Peter, oh. I see what I did now.
Yes.
Thank the Lord that his outcome was a little bit different than Judas.
Yes.
He recognized it, and just that look sent him to a place of repentance.
Yes.
And he went on to do great things after Jesus left. Oh, but even after that took place, did you notice the events? So if the very ones that you spent the most time with is betraying you and denying you, what's that going to cause people to do? To laugh at you and make fun of you. Here you got the people that was with you the most, and even they turn their back on you. So they're mocking him and smoting him and then put a blindfold on his eyes and then taking hits at him and said, Come on, who did it? After being betrayed, after being denied, could that have been enough for him to say, I can't do this. I can't go through with this. And then he was on a cross. Everything was fine when he was on the cross, right? Everything went okay. Just kind of a standard crucifixion. No. Let's read about it a little bit. Matthew 27, verse 33 to 48. Again, I apologize for the long reading, but I want us to get the context of the events that's taking place. And again, thinking, could this have been enough for the supreme sacrifice to say, I can't go through with this? Matthew 27, 33.
And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots.
Oh, Lord.
That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vestures did they cast lots.
Oh, Lord.
And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left.
Oh, Lord.
And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders, saying, "He saved others, himself he cannot save."
Oh, my Lord.
"If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, and let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he says, I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth.
Yes.
And from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for
Elias."
And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink.
Let's talk about some of the things that took place in that reading. First of all, just think about it just in a general sense, a crucifixion. It's like a public event, a public humiliation, right? Already, I mean, just so you would seem like that in itself would have been enough, right? You're hanging on a cross in front of people until you die. That was enough, wasn't it? But take note of some of these things that took place. They parted his garment and cast lots. So taking pieces of his clothing and then making a game out of it to decide what part you get. He's already humiliated, and now you take in the clothes that he has. Just making more fun of the situation that's going on. Reviled him, just laughing, wagging their heads, "Look at you." On top of everything that's going on. And then taunting him, "If you say you're the Son of God, if you come down right now, we'll believe." No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. If you didn't believe up until that point, him coming down, they would have had some other kind of excuse. Do this then, do that then. God doesn't have to prove himself. He was on a cross, dying for us. That was proof enough. Even got the chief priest mocking him. "You the Son of God? Look at you." In another place, doesn't it talk about he could have called 12 legions of angels? What if he had no supreme sacrifice?
Right.
Enough. Send the angels, God. He even cried out to God, his Father. Felt like I'm all forsaken here. I'm all alone. I'm being made fun of. I'm being mocked. I feel like I'm just by myself here. up until the end. But he stayed up there.
Amen.
He stayed up there. He was willing. He was willing to fulfill the divine purpose that God had for him. And you know, he didn't feel forsaken on that third day. On that third day, when the angel, when the earthquake happened and the stone got rolled away, then God spoke. Spoke life back into him. And he came out of there. He fulfilled the purpose. He became the supreme sacrifice for you and for me. The grave couldn't hold him. I want us to understand and comprehend the significance of a supreme sacrifice. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all. But if you are wondering what it was like before Jesus died on the cross and rose again, you can look in Leviticus, and there was specific instructions that God had given Moses for the children of Israel. These were some of the sacrifices that they had to make. Again, there was specific instructions that was given, and if things were not followed exactly like it was, then the sacrifice didn't fulfill what it was intended to do. There was burnt offerings. There was meat offerings. There was peace offerings. There was sin offerings. Not only just for individuals, but for priests, for congregations, for rulers. All of these things that had to take place, there were specific instructions that God had given Moses for what had to be done. Trespass offerings. You can read about it in Leviticus. The first seven chapters of Leviticus talk about all these different type of sacrifices that had to be made for all these different things. And then they had a day of atonement for the entire nation, where people fasted and they had to bring offerings and things for sin. But because of the supreme sacrifice, all that was taken away. You could look at it and say, we could maybe ask the question, did he make it too easy for us? We don't have to do any of those things. The blood of goats and sheep and lambs and fowl and cattle and ram. We don't have to go searching and finding. There was specific instructions. Had to be spotless and no blemishes. All these things that was required. Oh, but because of the supreme sacrifice. So did he make it too easy? No, he didn't make it too easy. You know what he did? He took away every excuse that mankind could try to bring. He took it away. And he said, because of the supreme sacrifice, you are inexcusable, oh man. There's nothing that you can say. The supreme sacrifice has been made. And the whole point being, if without the supreme sacrifice, the redemption plan would not be put into place, we would have no hope. We would be lost. Oh, do you want all that he went through? As we read through all the things that he suffered, leading up unto his crucifixion and even being on the cross. You know what we do? When we don't accept this supreme sacrifice, we say, all that was in vain for me. You did it for nothing, because I decide I don't want to accept it. There's a song. It says, the title of it is, Had It Not Been. The verse says, the first verse, just suppose God searched through all of heaven and he couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed that would buy eternal life for you and for me. Again, without this supreme sacrifice, there's no eternal life. Hopeless. But the Son of God was willing. He was willing to be the supreme sacrifice. Aren't you glad that it was so? That we don't have to say, had it not been, because it took place. He was willing. Even through all the difficulty and everything that he had to go through, he was willing. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for that old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Thank you, Lord, for the supreme sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing. Thank you, Almighty God, for having a plan to redeem the souls of mankind. Oh, but I'm so glad. Oh, I'm so glad this morning that he was willing to drink that bitter cup. Even though he prayed, oh, Father, let it pass from me. So glad he didn't call for heaven's angels. From the nail, from my hands, pull the nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been. Had it not been for the supreme sacrifice, we would have no hope. Oh, but thank the Lord this morning. There is hope today. There is hope today because of the supreme sacrifice. If you haven't accepted him, today is the accepted time. The verse, the exact words are, behold, now is the accepted time. Had it not been, for the circumstances of your life, would you be here today? There's hope. There's hope today because of this supreme sacrifice. And you know the privilege is, he gave so much for us that we have an opportunity to give something back. We have an opportunity to make a sacrifice to him. So have you accepted the supreme sacrifice? That's the start. If you haven't, I would encourage you today. It's the most important decision you can ever make in your life. And then, if you have, what are you offering back to him in return? He sacrificed for me. He sacrificed for you. What am I willing to sacrifice for him? Do I get to say, it's too hard? He didn't get to say that. Is what I'm offering anything at all back to him? Is what I'm offering to him half-hearted? Or is it wholehearted? You know my reward? Your reward? Eternal life.
Yes.
Yes, I accept the supreme sacrifice that was made. I'm willing, Lord, to say amen to your will. And my reward will be eternal life. But you know, I also have a choice. I can say no. You get a reward for that, but it's not really a reward. It's not a reward. You can have eternal torment. I pray this morning that this is something that we think about, not just on Easter, but something that we think about all the time. Because of the supreme sacrifice. Because had it not been for that supreme sacrifice, my soul would forever be lost. I desire your prayers. Help me, Lord. What am I? I have to ask myself these same kind of questions. Lord, what am I offering to you? What am I sacrificing to you for all that you did for me? Be encouraged this morning. Again, my encouragement, my admonishment to you this morning, if you haven't accepted the gift of this supreme sacrifice, now is the accepted time. And maybe he's been talking to you a little bit, saying, I want a little more from you. I encourage you this morning to say amen. We're not going to get away with any. Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. And all the stuff that he had to go through, we're not going to escape any. But the beautiful thing is we have his Spirit that can be with us every step of the way. And we can stand on his many promises that he has given us in his word. One of them being, he promised never to leave us, never forsake us. Even when it seems like it's hopeless, as long as God is on his throne, there is hope. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.